Fasten your championship belts, because this podcast is unprofessional. Welcome to your weekly home for wrestling reviews, discussion, predictions, and more. This is Unprofessional Wrestling. Here are your hosts, Schwartz, George, and Travis.
Oh boy.
Oh boy.
Oh boy.
Oh boy, what?
I'm ready.
Hell yeah, brother. Sorry for the week off, everybody, but life happens. I had to go away for the weekend, and last Tuesday was the only chance I had to get ready to go away for the weekend. But alas, we are here on Unprofessional Wrestling. If you're here already, don't forget to hit subscribe, like this video, leave a comment while you're here. Say hello while we're on the live stream. If you're listening on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your favorite podcasts, also give us a subscribe, a like, a rating, review, whatever the hell that platform does. Today, we're going to go over what we have so far for the WrestleMania card, because we got a little bit figured out. We're going to discuss each match, how we feel about the buildup of the card so far. Speaking of how we're feeling, Shorts, how are you feeling today?
I think it's a lot clearer. I'm feeling a lot clearer right now.
How's the back?
With these weeks. Oh, back's good.
Yeah, good. Got a new back.
It's like it's like I never got surgery. So.
Oh, that's nice.
Like before that, his head is pretty much sitting on his torso.
Yeah, you're like Edge or Page or whoever had back and neck problems. That's you, basically, right?
Biggie. Yeah, but I'm not a wuss.
So, oh,
good
my.
Catch, good catch.
Yeah, that's true. I never thought of that. Wow. George, how are you feeling?
It's a Tuesday, my dude.
What does that mean?
I'm ready for the weekend already.
Hell yeah, brother. Are we playing COD tonight?
Depends on how long I'm going to be sitting here for. Goddamn.
What, are you trying to rush through this?
Let's go. I'll leave right now.
I wouldn't. What's your guys' gamer tags so everybody can see, so that everybody can play?
Patrick Legal Lee.
G.I. George 18. What's yours?
I forgot.
I don't even remember his either.
I think it's like Travy Trav 22.
All right, just a reminder for everybody, feel free to Venmo me so we can get Shorts here at PS5 so he can play Call of Duty with us finally. We got CJ in the chat. I know CJ is going to play with us tonight. Isn't that right, CJ? Anyways.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about the WrestleMania card. We're going to talk about what we have so far on the card, and you got to, what do you mean you got to reinstall it right now and be ready in about an hour and a half, because we will be on. We're going to talk about the WrestleMania card, what we have so far for the WrestleMania card at least, and we're going to kind of discuss the buildup. Like I said, I think it's a little hit and miss
mid
so far. I think overall mid meh. Is a good way to describe the buildup so far. If you had a word for it, Shorts, what would it be?
Just slow. Slow.
It does feel slow.
Like I just don't see how they're gonna confidently have good matches for two full days. I don't think they're just gonna throw in random skits, I think, at this point.
So, all right, let's talk first about, I guess I'll go through. Here's what we got so far for WrestleMania. What happened?
CJ's comment.
WrestleMania this year equals picking up another shift at work. I mean, I'd rather still watch WrestleMania than work, but you do you, boo. You know, whatever. So far for the WrestleMania card, we have John Cena versus Cody Rhodes for the WWE Undisputed Championship. We've got Gunther versus Jey Uso for the World Heavyweight Championship. Tiffany Stratton versus Charlotte Flair for the WWE Women's Championship. Randall Orton versus Kevin Owens. Rhea Ripley versus Bianca versus Io for the Women's World Championship.
That's not confirmed yet.
Don't get me fucking started.
I'm just saying it's not confirmed to be a triple threat yet.
You're right, it's not, but we know where it's going. Roman Reigns versus Seth Rollins versus CM Punk.
I predicted that.
And that's our card so far. That's what we've got. So all of the title pictures or all the title matches are mostly figured out, with the exception of the Women's World Championship. And yeah, I don't know. All right, so I guess let's start with John Cena versus Cody Rhodes. Shorts, how do you feel about this build so far? Like, we'll go over what happened on the last Raw and SmackDown, but like, where are you at right now with this match?
I think John Cena is killing it right now on his promos, and it's just tough because he's going to have, I think he's going to have consistent weeks where if they're going to do it every week, he's going to have great promos, and then Cody's going to come out and just like do nothing. I don't really know how they're going to do this, because it just seems like John Cena has like this monotone, like blank aura to him right now, where it's just gonna, he's gonna like be pissed off and just kind of go through everything, if you guys are following. I just don't know how they're gonna do it without them brawling. I don't know, they usually always have like this brawl right before to make it worse. I don't know, it's good, I think, only because John Cena is making it really good.
I think the fans are definitely helping with that too, because he's just feeding off of it. But I'm expecting, you know, some punches to be thrown, not just, okay, let's go out and talk each other every single week. Like, let's mix it up a little bit. Like you mentioned, there's going to be a brawl like a week before, but I want it now.
I know, I want something.
Yeah, and like I've said, this is kind of one of the tough things when this match is established and there is a long time in between then and when the match actually happens. And I think that's one of the weird things with Mania this year, because normally like WrestleMania would be in like a week, give or take.
Something like that, yeah.
And now like we have an extra 3 weeks or so before the event actually happens. And I think that's maybe throwing things off a little for me. I am surprised that when Cena came out for the first time since Elimination Chamber, Cody came out and he was just squeaky clean babyface, wasn't angry, whatever. And if I were Cody, like, I would be just fuming still, I think. You know, like, I would be going after him.
Yeah.
Especially what happened after with the big black eye in his eardrum.
Oh, but that was Travis Scott.
I know, but he was still a part of it. Also, he did say something about that in his promo, Cody's. He did say, he was like, I'm not that baby face right now or something. Or I don't know, maybe I'm getting it mixed up.
He said, I'm not a baby face. He said, I'm not a heel. He's a human being or whatever he said. So let's talk about that. Last night, Cena comes out, basically says, I'm not reading your version of this. George laid out this very wild explanation of his version of events from yesterday that I'm not reading.
You must.
I don't think anybody should see that.
Cena. Yeah, right. Cena basically says that the crowd's been an experiment this whole time. He's been learning everything about them through the years based on their reactions and the way they act about everything. Mentioned that he gave them his greatest idea. He took away the real championship and gave them this toy championship, the spinner belt. And therefore, he disrespected them, disrespected the legacy of the championship, and all this, which I thought was really interesting. That makes me wonder, if Cena wins, does he bring back a spinner championship?
It would be so apropos, because I just watched, I think 20 minutes before this, I just watched a whole thing on why most of the wrestlers and like the older ones, like Big Show, JBL, those guys, they hated the belt because it looked like a toy.
Do you guys know who threw that spinner belt away?
Which one?
Medusa?
The WWE Undisputed Championship belt.
I know who got rid of both of them.
You want to break the news?
break the news.
Like,
it was
who
threw it away? It was The Rock.
Yeah. I'm just saying it's kind of convenient that it was The Rock that, you know, threw it away. And
I don't remember this.
Yeah. So The Rock cut a promo basically saying, like, making fun of it. He was like, the WWE title should not look like a toy. And then he, like, did a little spin to it. And then that's when he unveiled the first iteration of the current belt.
Terrible, by the way. That first version especially was awful.
Mm-hmm.
So Cody basically comes out and says Cena made a mistake saying what he said in front of the crowd. And he lays down the belt in between him and says, go ahead, take it. Here's your opportunity. Take it now. Cena gets out. Cody keeps telling him. He's like, this is how it's going to look when you walk out of WrestleMania empty-handed, and this is what it's going to look like when you walk out of WWE. So we've had a couple of these just basic interactions between the two with nothing's progressed in these promos, I feel like. Like, there hasn't been anything new coming out of them. It's just them getting face-to-face, talking trash through in these interactions that these two have had, or in a promo that Cody has given on his own on Raw, or whatever. We haven't seen anything new happen in this storyline.
But they are meeting again. It's not Friday. It's next Monday, right?
Yes.
I believe that's what was advertised. Okay. And that'll be the third time now that this has happened. So they need to do something with it. Because I'm excited for the match. But like if you compare this build to Roman and Cody last year, like, that's the best build probably of all time for any match ever.
Well, I mean, it flip-flopped and everybody was pissed. So, of course, it was a Daniel Bryan-esque situation.
Yeah, sort of. So I don't know. Next week, they really need to do something. They need to execute. I mean, with or without The Rock, it doesn't matter. And next week, they're still in Europe. And I do think that's been an advantage to these shows. I also feel like in some ways it's been a disadvantage because there haven't been people there that really should be there, for example. And I think that's playing a role right now. I think it's a weird time to do this European tour where some people are there at certain shows and some aren't when you're only a few weeks away from Mania. And like, this is the most important time to be building stuff. So I don't know, but mm-hmm. So overall,
did you notice that Cody used John Cena's catchphrase?
No.
The champ is here.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yes, yes. Yeah, he's here standing in this ring or whatever he said.
Yeah.
So
I feel like he's going to start bringing in some of John Cena's old promos and like kind of using it against him or something like that.
Cody comes out as
Dr. Thugonomics.
Nightmare Thugonomics.
Gold chain and all. The knuckles.
Word life, bitch. Whoa. So minds will probably change a few times between now and Mania, but as of right now, Cody versus Cena, who do you think is taking it? Shorts.
I think as of right now, if you just take face value as of right now,
mm-hmm.
Cody.
George?
Cena.
I got to take Cena currently.
I know mine will change once it progresses, but I just think as of right now, it's just going to be Cody.
I think it's going to come down to like the last pay-per-view that he's at, PLE, whatever you want to call it. That's who takes the title off Cena.
Yeah, because I mean, and Cena's going to like turn back into a good guy before the end of the year. Like, obviously, he's not going to retire as a heel. So mm-hmm. There's a lot of good stuff coming with Cena, but I think he should get that title, and I think he should break the record, and I think he deserves to. CJ is also going with Cena.
I have a feeling I'm going to end up with Cena, but I think it just needs to be more like if The Rock starts getting into these promos and whatnot, because mm-hmm. I have a feeling he's gonna be a big part of this too.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing. What else? Like, the logic here right now is, what else are you gonna do with Cena if he loses?
Well, he's a heel still. I mean, heels can lose and be just fine and move on to the next thing, generally.
Has he ever won the Intercontinental title? Did we talk about that?
I think we did talk about it. I think he has. I think we looked it up a few weeks ago.
And that's the only one I don't think he won.
Oh. We'll get some clarification on that. Moving on to the other men's title match, the World Heavyweight Championship, Gunther versus Jay. I have no excitement for this. I don't think either should be the champion. I think the smartest move on this would be to give Jay the championship, but I feel like they really need to build him up right now. I don't think he's strong enough currently to be carrying a world championship and be like the face of the brand. Despite his song.
That's all he's got.
I didn't want to say that, but I mean, yeah. I mean, it's like, yeah. I mean, that's basically it. He's got the song. He's got the movements, but he doesn't have, I feel like, the personality. He's not very polarizing. Like, I'm not tuning in to see him. I think at this point it needs to get taken off Gunther. I just don't think it should be Jay having it. So with that, on Raw yesterday, we saw Jimmy reunite with Jay, and we had the Usos defeating A-Town Down Under, and afterwards they're celebrating. Gunther pulls Jimmy out of the ring and attacks Jay. Gunther gets the upper hand, and then Jimmy comes to. He gets a chair in the ring with him, and then Gunther bolts. And then later on backstage, we saw Jimmy tell Jay he can't beat Gunther the way he's performing, like when he slipped in the ring earlier in the night and couldn't capitalize on a weakened Gunther and take him out for good. Jay slipped trying to probably start his spear, and you know, Gunther took back over. Jimmy then saw Gunther backstage, challenged him to a match next week on Raw, and then gave him a big ol' slap.
Big ol' bitch slap.
So, I don't know, I was a little bit intrigued by the whole Jimmy getting involved and confronting Gunther sort of thing. It's like, why is Jimmy the one right now that looks like he has the balls to do something? And not Jay. I don't know.
If you compare Gunther right now to Jay, I don't really see Jay his moveset, his technical prowess is awful compared to Gunther.
Yeah, and it's not even about the moves for me. It's just the character isn't there. It's just not. George, what do you think of the build for this match so far?
I mean, it seems to be the same thing every single week. Gunther comes in and attacks Jay, and then Jay is just laying there helplessly, and it's like, what, 3 weeks in a row now? And now you got your big brother Jimmy coming to the rescue here, which I'm pretty sure we talked about this a couple weeks ago. Like, yeah, Jimmy's going to be the one to help out Jay throughout this whole thing.
Which I'm surprised by, but at the same time, like, they don't have anything else going on with Jimmy. So as of right now, George, who do you think wins the World Heavyweight Championship at WrestleMania?
Jay, and then he loses it a month later.
Yeah, I would say the same thing, but I don't know about a month. I think I think it's going to be like
2 months.
What's the next major one after? What's the next major one after Backlash? Isn't it like?
Major one is SummerSlam.
SummerSlam.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with that. I don't know who else they have right now that's built up enough to take that title, but I'm sure. Yeah, but there's a lot of time to build somebody up between now and SummerSlam to take on Jay and get the belt off of him. CJ says it's going to be a horrid match, but Jay takes it. I don't think it's going to be a bad match by any means. I just have no interest in it. I can agree to like a month or so than losing it. Okay, well, consensus is pretty clear there. I just they need to do, like George said, they need to do something else because it's been the same thing and there's no real layers to this.
What if they do some sort of bloodline thing where like Roman ends up taking it from him in SummerSlam or something? See, that would be interesting.
Yeah, I agree. I would be all for that for sure.
It'd be fucking Seth again.
Well, from the World Heavyweight Championship to the WWE Women's Championship, Tiffany Stratton versus Charlotte Flair. Shorts, how do you feel about the overall build of this match thus far?
It was nothing until last week. Or like this last episode.
Mm-hmm.
Charlotte freaking cooked her.
Well, I think my interest was starting to peak more, and I got definitely more excited for the match a couple weeks ago on SmackDown when they attacked each other. They brawled. The crowd was super into it. Tiffy did the flip off the stage or whatever onto everybody, and that got me excited for the match for sure. Last night, however, didn't really do that. They made Tiffany look terrible. This last Friday on SmackDown, they did like the satellite interview, or whatever, where they're both in a side by side picture and they're talking to Michael Cole or whatever. And basically, Charlotte just talked about how she's the best. Nobody cares about Tiffany. Listed all these things, and anything that Tiffany said, Charlotte had a great rebuttal for. Like, it seemed like Charlotte knew everything Tiffany was going to say and had something prepared for it. And Tiffany had what was written. Like, was kind of the vibe I got. And Tiffany did not look like a great champion in that moment. And I don't know that it's necessarily her fault or writer's fault or whatever, but I think also in that moment, Charlotte should have been giving Tiffany more than making her look as terrible as she did.
I feel like that's going to be like a every week thing until the actual match.
I hope so.
And then boom, Tiffany beats Charlotte.
Yeah, I could see it that way. Where it just seems like Charlotte has the upper hand on everything, and then when it actually comes time to the match, Tiffany Stratton actually performs well.
Yeah. I want so much to be excited for this match more than the others, but if Tiffany looked like she did in that segment, I don't know that they keep the championship on her. I think she needs to beat Charlotte to get her to that next level, but she needs to look like she can hang with Charlotte on the mic. Like, regardless of if it was her fault or somebody else's fault or whatever the case may be, it didn't make her look good at all. And that's all I know. So they really need to turn that ship around, like, quick.
I agree.
Oh, Randy Orton versus Kevin Owens. I believe this is really just made official on SmackDown this last week. I don't remember it being announced beforehand. Basically, Randy comes out. I believe he opened the show. Crowd super hot, obviously. That's the one cool thing about these European shows is the crowd is just super into it because they never get these shows there, at least not that often.
I feel like all overseas shows are just better crowds.
They are. Yeah, and I think it's just because absence makes the heart grow fonder. Randy Orton's talking to the crowd. Kevin Owens comes out, and he says he's genuinely sorry for dropping Orton on his head and giving him the package pile driver. But he said he did it for a reason. He said, I'm trying to save you from yourself. He saw him becoming old Randy Orton, scary Randy Orton, legend killer Randy Orton, like 2009 Randy Orton or whatever he said. And I'm like, okay, dots are connecting. This is making sense. And it almost, yet again, made me think Kevin Owens isn't the bad guy here. And I don't think Randy Orton is, but Kevin is one of those people that's like, you helped Roman. Roman ruined everybody's lives. Fuck you for helping him. And this was kind of similar. Like, oh, well, he's trying to keep Randy Orton in check. Like, I kind of get it in a sense. So there's an explanation for everything that's happening. Right or wrong, I like the dots being connected. And Randy Orton does not accept this genuine apology.
Genuine.
He did a good job making it seem like
he cares.
I actually am sorry, and I actually did like feel like I had a good reason for doing it.
For almost paralyzing you.
Yeah. So Randy Orton does not accept this apology, and he tells Owens he's going to punt his head off at Mania. So now we have Randy Orton versus Kevin Owens at Mania. I think this has been a good logical build of this match so far. What say you, gentlemen?
Is there a stipulation for this match?
There is not. I was going to say, I do think there should be a stipulation to this.
I wouldn't mind one.
Should be like a helmet on a pole match.
What's that?
If you could use it.
What's that match where you have to touch all four corners?
Strap match?
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't really like that match just because of, I feel like you need to have a bigger ring so they have to like drag the person.
It was really fun when Punk and Drew did it though. Like I thought that was a lot of fun.
Theirs looked pretty believable, yeah.
So all in all, I think I'm liking this build. I'm liking this match. Obviously you like these two people, who doesn't? I think it's going to be a good match, and I think it's been a good build.
So would you throw Sammy in this match? Say that like
I think so. I think so.
I don't think I'd throw him in, but I think he's going to be a very pivotal role. He's going to play a pivotal role in it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Where he could either, they're going to give him the option to either turn on Randy or turn on Kevin.
Yeah. He's either going to be a part of a match with Randy and Kevin somehow, or he'll be on the side, or he'll be a special guest referee or something. But I don't think you have this match without Sammy being mentioned.
Yeah. So. I just see a huge turn. Like Sammy's just going to go, I knew Kevin was right the whole time.
All right. So with that, who's your pick currently at face value for Kevin Owens versus Randy Orton at Mania?
The amount of, I don't know, because Randy just cannot lose. But Kevin's been taking some L's, so I think Kevin takes this one.
As of right now, with no stipulation, I want to say Randy.
All right, I'm. I think I got to go Kevin for now. For now. Randy Orton's getting dangerous, but Kevin Owens has been dangerous and taking people out. So there we are. All right, boys. Oh, fuck, I don't know if I'm ready for this one.
Here we go.
All right.
I'll let you two brawl this one out.
Bianca Belair versus Io Sky for the Women's World Championship. So before we get into that, before we get on what happened last night, I guess. Shorts, how do you feel about the build for this match so far? Does it make sense? Is it working for you? Where are you coming at this from?
It is. I think it's a little messy, but I think by the end of it, we'll see how it works, and it might work out. I have some theories on how it's going to all work out, but I think it's a little messy. I'll say that.
George?
Yes? I think it's a lot more entertaining than Jay and Gunther, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, but, yeah.
I don't disagree.
Like we talked about it earlier around noon about the, you know, whining and who's heel, who's not heel, yada, yada, yada. Got him over here rubbing his eyes already. It's a good build, that's for sure. But I think next week with Bianca being the special guest referee, it's gonna add a little something to it, you know what I mean?
So
you're basically
I think
you look like yourself then.
I think overall the build has been good. I'm not saying every single dot of this is connected. I think they have the right people involved with it for sure. People love Io. People love Bianca. People obviously love Rhea. Last night on Raw, Adam Pearce comes out with the stolen contract. By the way, let me reiterate. Rhea stole the contract, and she...
I don't know how it's stolen when he has it.
Yeah, and she literally picked it up off the ground but and it put
was,
it back down.
But it was stolen. Whole point
she
was...
She gave it back to him
whole
in the back.
Point, the whole point is that Rhea did steal it. That's a fact. That's true. That happened. You can't deny
borrowed.
That. She didn't
borrowed.
No, it's what thieves say. Thieves say, I borrowed this. Now you can have it back.
She found it, noticed the signature, is like, oh, I should add mine.
Motherfucker.
Exactly.
Adam Pearce comes out with the contract that Rhea stole and signed last week. And Adam says Rhea is not in the match. It's not a legitimate contract signature. She's not in the match. Io comes out and says she'll face anybody. Bianca then comes out saying Rhea doesn't deserve a title match. Rhea comes out saying
she's scared.
She needs a rematch. Yet again, Bianca and Rhea get into it. And yet again, one of them shoves Io out by putting their hand in her face and pushing her away. That is happening again and again. I'm getting tired of seeing the same thing. And that's kind of the theme with a lot of these builds. It's a lot of the same thing every week. And
just little tweaks.
I know that's a minor detail, but it's like, come on. I don't know. Anyways, Pierce then proclaims that next week, Rhea's going to get her rematch, and she's going to face Io Sky for the Women's World Championship. And then everybody brawls. So everybody's fighting. Bianca stands tall. Afterwards, she's backstage. She finds Adam Pearce. And Adam Pearce says, oh, this title match next week between Io and Rhea, you're going to be the special guest referee. Which, okay, that's a great twist. We're getting this title rematch, so we're connecting those dots. And we're keeping Bianca involved with this as well. Everything's making sense.
You want to know what's going to happen? Rhea's going to be Io. And then the week after that, Io's going to be like, I want my rematch. And then Bianca's going to be like, no, I want it. And it's just going to be every single week. They're going to have like
either,
five contracts signed by the end of the fucking month.
Make it stop.
It's either that or Bianca is going to screw someone. And then it's just going to go, that can't, you know, it's going to. That doesn't count and all that stuff. It's going to be messy, like I said.
Double disqualification, that's what it's going to be.
Now, I do want to reiterate here, just for the record.
Yeah.
Rhea's clearly being the whiny bitch in this situation.
Cook him, Schwartz. Cook him.
I understand that she was, quote unquote, owed a rematch, and I'm fine with that. But stealing this contract and doing all this shit, and the whole time, Adam Pearce is saying, yeah, I've been trying to get you a title rematch, but you keep being a whiny bitch. So, like, I haven't been able to actually, like, get you to agree to a title rematch yet because you're too focused on being a whiny bitch. A whiny
word for word.
Heel bitch. That's what I'm saying. Yes, exactly.
Exactly what
like,
he said.
Like, basically. Basically.
Do you hear Bianca when she's going back there?
I will say last night there was a lot of those whiny tendencies as well.
The week before too.
I don't know and about she's the week before.
She's whining about Io being involved with her stuff and slapping her and then Rhea even being involved. She's just as whiny.
Yeah, I don't think Rhea should have been involved to begin with.
Neither should have been Bianca. She should have
between
been
you two.
Well, what do you mean? Bianca won the Elimination Chamber.
Like I said before, there's no reason for her to be out there. No, not at all.
You see it here. Here's the fucking problem. I don't understand how you don't think. I don't understand how you think that Bianca did anything wrong.
She was out there.
So what? The announcers are out there. The ref is out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. They did about as much to hurt Rhea in that match as Bianca did, which means nothing.
Was Pat McAfee there at that time? Is Pat McAfee going to face someone for the title? Is Michael Cole going to face someone for the title? No. So they're not even on her mind. Bianca is there for antagonization, and if that's a word,
didn't antagonize her.
Just being there is antagonizing. Try having a little brother and just having him look at you wrong. That's antagonizing. I would know.
He looked at me wrong at volleyball a couple weeks ago, then I spiked a ball in his fucking face.
I'm sure it was the other way around.
I think regardless, actually did win, though.
She knows what she's doing. She did it. And then now she's claiming she's the victim. Bianca was not supposed to be out there. You don't always see every number one contender sit out there watch the match.
It does happen a lot. Okay, so you're saying if anybody that's number one contender goes out and they're on commentary just to watch the match, different?
Just to watch the match.
Yeah, but sometimes that's actually what happens. And clearly that's what Bianca was doing until Rhea decided that she needed to cost herself a title.
Kind of like Drew and CM Punk last year.
I can't take this anymore.
Oh.
As of right now, I am going to say Bianca wins this match.
Are we saying it's just a straight Bianca versus Io?
That's what the match is currently.
All right. If it goes triple threat, who wins?
Going Io.
I'm going Bianca as well.
You're going just flat out Bianca. Your antagonizing face is going to win.
I'm not even saying... That's not even why I'm saying it. That's not even why I'm saying it.
I think if it ends up being Io versus Bianca, Io wins. I think if it's a triple threat, I think Io ends up winning.
Okay.
I'm going EO both ways because I just feel like Rhea and Bianca are just going to be like, fuck you, no, fuck you.
They're going to get too caught up. They're going to get too caught up.
All right, anyways. Well, George mentioned CM Punk. Larry Bird loves me, by the way, because I picked Bianca. And Larry Bird said, Bianca! Hell yes, still Bianca. So
she's still learning.
Fucking high five, Larry Bird.
Yeah, if you like fucking heels.
Larry Bird better come over for Mania. Shorts also better come over for Mania because it's Easter weekend and apparently that's a big deal.
Maybe you should find God once in a while. Okay?
Sorry, I'm too busy watching WrestleMania. So anyways, CJ says he can see Io or Rhea winning at Mania. Yeah, and that's fair. George mentioned CM Punk, so let's talk about what's going on. So it was announced, I believe last Monday, that we're getting Roman Reigns versus Seth versus CM Punk in a triple threat match. What's that look?
Nothing. I was just thinking about you.
Was I wearing pants?
No, you were crying.
Naked. Crying naked.
Pants off, crying. Whitey tighties. Sitting on a monster truck, crying.
With the Mick Foley sock.
Hanging it.
Well.
Right there.
There it is.
Yay. He breaks it out and puts it on.
Speaking of WrestleMania, CJ says, I'm booking a flight and bringing my own service bell. Hell yeah, brother. Roman says, on SmackDown this past Friday, Roman comes out and says, Punk screwed him at the Rumble, and at the Garden, he screwed Punk. And at the Rumble, Rollins tried to kill him, so at the Garden, he tried to kill Rollins.
Mm-hmm.
Roman basically opens the floor for anybody to come out and confront him. So then we get Seth coming out, says that him and Roman cannot exist at the same time. And then Punk comes to the ring And he mentions neither have beat Punk without the other one's help. He reminds Roman that the Rumble was every man for himself. He didn't screw Roman at the Rumble, which, yeah, valid point. Punk had no allegiance to Roman. He helped him at Survivor Series because of the Paul Heyman favor, which he also mentions. Roman then slowly turns around and looks at Paul Heyman. And when he does that, CM Punk gets Roman from behind with the microphone, and then everybody brawls. So we had a big, big old brawl. So that was great. And then on Raw yesterday, Punk comes out, says this match is not what he wants, or is it? And it's not what he wants because it's not for a title. It's not the result of a Royal Rumble win or an Elimination Chamber win. He mentions that Seth screwed him in Elimination Chamber. He mentions that he just wants the title. He's there for business. For Roman and Seth, it's personal. So Punk essentially feels like he's just in the middle of this personal vendetta.
We better hope that Punk doesn't choke someone out backstage.
And he also mentions that this coming Friday on SmackDown, there will be a contract signing. Because, of course, part of the issue, like I mentioned earlier, Roman and Seth are not at Raw. Seth is a Raw superstar, so that's another thing that's bugging me about like all of this, is there's way too much bleed over between the two brands. And I understand it's a European tour, and maybe that's a reason, but I don't like when brand splits are ignored, personally.
With no reasoning, either.
Like, yeah, exactly.
Seth was on Good Morning Football this morning.
They didn't mention
that. Watch that while you're at work?
Pat mentioned it.
They did. They put like a little thing at the bottom and said that he was going to be at the network.
Well, and that's fine. Anyways, yet again, Punk mentions that neither of them have beat him without the other one's help. And also mentioned, which I thought was interesting, that he brought both of them into WWE and he is going to be the one that takes them out of it. And the first time I remember hearing about the story of Punk bringing them into WWE was on that Colt Cabana podcast. Very famous. I don't know if you guys ever listened to that. If you haven't, you should, because that's actually like still very interesting. So it was the first time he ever did any sort of media or anything after he left WWE in 2013 or whenever it was. Mm-hmm. Highly recommend. It's on YouTube. You should go listen to it for sure. But he mentions that bringing in the Shield was essentially his idea because he was supposed to be with them.
Mm-hmm.
And then plans changed. Somebody changed plans, whatever, that ended up not happening. But anyways, Roman and Seth were Punk's picks for who to bring up from FCW or NXT or whatever it was at the time. And that's where this came out. So this is the first time I've ever heard that talked about within the confines of the WWE.
Mm-hmm. One thing I did like on SmackDown, though, each and every one of them pointed at the WrestleMania sign.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a fight. Like, it was like, let me push this person down and just point.
Yeah, it was like a match, and whoever pointed first won. So, yeah, all we got with this was this Punk promo, but that's fine because they had a banger of a night on Friday closing out SmackDown, and I think this is probably so far the best buildup out of the Mania matches, I think.
Yeah, I would agree with that one.
Mm-hmm.
It's got so many layers to it.
It has a lot of layers. I still can't wait to see what this Heyman thing ends up being. I think Punk ends up winning at Mania either because of the favor or... I really don't have any good guesses as to what this favor is. I feel like there has to be something that comes out of this match, though, whether it be a title opportunity or something. And if that's the case, then I definitely think Punk wins because he can only do so much without eventually getting a title match.
I want to go with Punk just because, you know, you got Seth and Roman that have been feuding for the last 10 plus years.
Yeah, like Seth and Roman, like they're going to take their eyes off the ball and they're going to get too caught up in their hatred for each other. Yeah. And Punk's like, I'm here to win a match.
Punk's going to stack them up and double pin them.
Damn. It's the GTS on both at the same time.
God, that would be crazy. This match is going to be just like the EO, Bianca, and Rhea match if that ends up being a triple threat.
Which it will.
The two are just going to be, too occupied with each other and then forget about the match. But do you even think, like, Heyman has, like, any... I mean, we know in real life, but he's got pull, but in his position right there, do you think he has any pull? So, like, if Punk does win and then goes, my favor is, you need to get me a title match.
No, but he doesn't, but that's where it's, like... It's hard to say what this favor is, because maybe it does there end up being some sort of title stipulation, and then like Heyman helps Punk win the match somehow.
That's what I'm leading.
Yeah. So I don't know. I think there has to be something that comes out of it that says you get a title shot or something. Like otherwise, okay, then what? So I don't know. But that's where I'm at. So I guess those are all the matches so far that we have for WrestleMania and kind of what we've thought of the buildup this far. So I think in general, it's been very meh. They need to pick it up on almost all of these matches. They need to be heating these things up and they need to be doing something different with all of them. I think that's a consensus. So next week we reevaluate and see if this next Raw and SmackDown have anything else that really adds to anything. So, outside of that, El Grande Americano. Gracias!
So stupid.
Who do you guys think it is?
It's some dude Chad Gable found on the side of the fucking street.
Hmm. Or...
That looks just like fucking Chad Gable.
I was going to say, or what? Did you even think about...
It doesn't look anything like Chad Gable. Then? What?
It's probably like Bobby Lashley or something.
Sir, present your evidence.
I don't know. The dude's ripped. I think
George is going to die. What are you implying? He spent his money to make himself shorter and white?
Oh, jeez. Didn't even think about that.
Yeah. You going to make it, George?
We're good.
Oh. Good. Yeah, so anyways... they show this vignette for El Grande Americano, and
which was so AI.
It was so all AI. It was all these AI pictures, and it's like there's black and white pictures of El Grande as a child, and he was like a Mexican legend who just disappeared and just resurfaced in WWE,
undefeated.
It's incredible story. I don't know how we haven't heard of this guy before. Fell off the face of the earth
of America.
Yeah, he hails from the Gulf of America. Maybe that's why we never heard of him.
Ballsy to use that right now.
Ballsy than to say it last night.
It was fucking hilarious. I don't even think it was ballsy. It just adds to the joke. I mean, it's not a joke. Like El Grande Americano is not a joke, but man,
he's the real deal.
That vignette was great. So after that vignette plays, you see Rey Mysterio and Dragon Lee standing next to Adam Pearce as they just got done watching this. And Rey's like, what the fuck is that? And right, anyways, then Chad Gable walks in. He's like, Dragon Lee, I can't face you tonight. Like, I got sick. Like, here's a doctor's note. He hands it to Adam Pearce. And Adam Pearce is like, yeah, this is legit. Like, he can't compete tonight. Later on, we get Dragon Lee versus El Grande Americano from the Gulf of America. And El Grande wins the match and
via
he wins the match and
via oh, thank you.
Hi, Chrissy.
Oh. Via mask deletion from face.
El Grande rips the mask off Dragon Lee, which allows him to put an ankle lock on. Dragon Lee taps out. El Grande won the match, and I don't know what's next for El Grande, but he's rising through the ranks, boys. already
with one match.
Correct.
He should definitely be the number one contender for Bron Breakker's title.
Yeah, absolutely. 1,000%. So anyway, El Grande's great, so we needed to mention that. Other than that, natural disasters were announced for the Hall of Fame, so that's cool. Typhoon and earthquake, if I'm not mistaken. I could not.
Yes. And
unfortunately, I did not hear your beer open at all. I'm a little disappointed. Cheers. As he slams his beer into the microphone.
One of them died. One of them's dead.
Correct.
Is it Earthquake that's dead, or is it? Yeah, it is. It's Earthquake.
Rest in peace. The main event of Raw was Bron Breakker versus Penta for the Intercontinental Championship. And earlier in the night, Dominic Mysterio went up to Penta asking him to join the Judgment Day and said if he agrees, he could walk out the Intercontinental Champ. So anyways.
Why are you saying Penta, like Penta?
Penta.
Like the pasta.
Yeah, like it's Penta. Yeah. It pretty much.
Penne pasta.
It's like no.
Penta, it's the braces.
Yeah, we got pasta against Bron Breakker.
Yeah.
I might be getting these fuckers off in the next few months.
I'll take them off.
Good. George, you can have them when he's done.
No, I just want to take them off.
Say Barcelona.
Barcelona?
Oh, you said it wrong.
Is it milk or milk?
Milk.
Attaboy.
Did you just say milk?
Milk with an E.
What do you say?
What do you say?
Milk.
Milk.
Milk, exactly how it's spelled.
Yeah, milk.
With an I.
Say pillow.
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 Gross. Get out of here with that. You Midwest freaks.
Bag.
Wisconsin boys.
Yeah, so anyways. The ref gets distracted by, I believe it was Dominic or Carlito. I don't remember which one. Larry Bird says milk.
I'm going to get beat when I get home.
Hell yeah. By who?
I think you are correct because Bird. You are the color of milk. Like, full stop.
Well, I got to say that when I'm drinking.
I don't know. Ever think you just drink too much?
Nope.
All right. Anyways, Judgment Day causes a distraction, and they end up causing disqualification in the match, so... Penta technically wins the match, doesn't win the title. And when it came down to it, now we have Balor in the ring. He attacks Bron Breakker with a chair. Then he gives the chair to Dominic Mysterio after it almost looks like he's going to hit him, and then he doesn't. And then Dominic Mysterio hits Bron Breakker with a chair, and then he gives the chair to Penta. Here's your opportunity to join the Judgment Day. Like, all you got to do is hit Bron Breakker with the chair a couple times, sort of thing. And, of course, Penta does not do that. He attacks Dom with the chair. All in all, Judgment Day has the upper hand, and the Judgment Day is swinging for the fences and back in full force, boys.
Mm-hmm. There's been so
many people. It was pretty nice to see that.
There's been so many people they've tried to recruit for fucking Judgment Day.
They're going to find somebody. And speaking of, we've had vignettes now, a couple of them, for Penta. Or not Penta, Rey Fénix. Obviously, Rey Fénix is coming. Yeah, I mean, they basically showed him.
What if Aleister Black comes and is part of Judgment Day?
I was just going to get there, and that's why I brought it up, because there have been teasers for somebody else coming as well, and they are not as obvious as these Rey Fénix ones, but the running theory, we know Aleister Black is no longer with AEW. And
good.
The running theory behind these other teasers is that it is
Austin Theory.
It's Austin Theory. That it is Aleister Black, hopefully. And I don't want the Judgment Day to end at this point, but man, how great would it be to have Aleister Black as a part of the Judgment Day? It would be just fantastic.
With him being in the House of Black in the other company, does he even want to be in a stable? I feel like I heard that he was not wanting to be in that stable at all.
Well, I mean, they never got used for anything, to be fair. So maybe if he's a part of an actual, you know, organized company actually being used, maybe that changes. I don't know.
Kind of like Ricky Starks.
Yeah, well, also, notably, Liv hands Jade her first singles loss, which is, I think, actually pretty major, with the help from Naomi, of course. Naomi grounded and pounded Jade after the match, like Ralphie on A Christmas Story. I've never seen the movie.
Oh, my God. It was so funny. All I could see is, you've never seen it?
I watch it every year. It's a tradition.
Haven't watched it once.
You need to. George, do you know the scene that I'm talking about?
When he's fucking beating up the ginger kid?
Yeah, and he's swearing. He's like,
whoa.
It's not a...
Yeah, doesn't make sense.
Damn.
No. Oh. Whoa, what? Gingers don't have souls.
Oh, yeah, so it's okay to beat him up. Yeah.
This kid was picking on him.
He's a bully, just like normal gingers are.
I want to send an apology to our ginger listeners of this program. He didn't mean that.
Who?
Probably Larry Bird.
No.
Larry Bird's a ginger?
No.
Oh.
Larry Bird was.
But isn't anymore?
What?
No, because he's old.
Oh, you're talking about the actual basketball player.
Oh.
Yeah, you could only... I'm pretty sure that's real Larry Bird, so...
Realer? Realer Larry
Real Bird? Larry Bird.
I think he said realer.
I don't think I...
I said realer.
He must have got braces with his new back, too.
Yeah.
So, that's kind of... we talked about the Mania card. We talked about a couple other notable things from Raw and SmackDown this last week. Larry Bird is laughing her ass off, and... I thought it would be fun for us to
talk. You know, it's a her.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
What?
We don't assume genders on this program.
Yeah, laughing their butts off.
So, with that, I thought it'd be fun, and I hope you boys are ready for this. Let's talk about our top three favorite title belts of all time. Now, I will be honest, I thought about this for about 2 minutes because I knew I wouldn't be able to nail down an actual top three. So I just kind of went with the best ones that I had at the top of my head. So with that.
Yeah.
Shorts.
I want to go last.
Okay.
Because I have a feeling I have this one or two of mine will be the same as either one of yours or both of yours.
Highly fucking doubt it.
Really?
I just thought of my right now.
What?
What?
You're supposed to know this coming into this.
I was driving down. I'm like, I'll decide later.
Typical George.
To be fair, you told us we may not even talk about this today.
I don't remember saying that.
So,
I don't know, Dad.
Can I go first?
Sure. Well, first, CJ in the comments here. We'll let him go first. He says, Winged Eagle, then the WCW World Heavyweight title, which would be Big Gold. And are you fucking kidding me? The Edge Spinner? Okay. George.
What?
Your top three favorite belts starting at number three.
Number three, we're starting with the 24/7 title belt.
No, you're not. What? That's a lie.
Number two, we're going with the Cruiserweight title belt.
Stop.
Which one?
03.
The
2003. And number one will be the European belt.
Go fuck yourself.
I hate you.
I think you.
I actually hate you. Do you have an actual list?
Yeah.
Okay, what is it?
Big Gold.
Okay.
Number three or number one? Let's start.
Big Gold number three.
Okay.
You know, classic WCW.
Uh-huh.
And then I'll probably go with the John Cena spinner belt, WWE championship.
Hmm.
You liked that one?
I didn't mind it. I like the toys. And then the number one, we're going to go with this beauty right here.
The WWE Undisputed Championship belt currently held by Cody Rhodes. I can respect that. So, Shorts, you want to go last?
I do.
All right. Now, like I said, I didn't spend much time thinking about this because I knew if I did, I just wouldn't be able to nail it down. If we revisit this later on, it'll probably be completely different. But Here's what I put together off the top of my head. Number three, the NXT North American Championship. I'm a big fan of that because it's old school. It's something different. And I like that. I've always been a big fan of that one. Number two, the first iteration of the AEW World Championship.
Oh, I didn't know we were doing other brands here.
Wow.
That's true.
I didn't.
Also, why were there balloons?
I don't know. I just noticed that too. Number one, the WWE current World Heavyweight Championship belt. I don't know why it's showing balloons. So, sorry, guys.
Your hand gestures?
Probably. So, North American, AEW, WWE World Heavyweight Championship.
It's definitely
number one.
It's definitely the hand gesture.
It's got to be. So, those are my top three.
What hand gesture did you do?
I don't know. I was just
you're going like this.
I was just moving my hands around and I
just.
Like you're holding a balloon.
It's not doing it. I don't know what the hell happened. All right, Shorts, your top three title belts of all time.
So I kind of went on just like the WWE title, just the heavyweight title. Because the other ones just seem, I don't know, just not as nice, not
we,
as good.
We can do other iterations of this later on where we like have more specific categories, but yeah, go on.
I guess number three, and I actually saw this a while back and I actually liked it. It was, I don't remember what year it was. I'm just going to throw it out there. It was, I think it was like the 1982 belt that Hogan had. It was the big green one.
Green strap?
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That one is sweet. Okay. It's got two.
Okay.
You can look it up.
No, I know
what like 1980.
I know what it looks like. I'm just surprised. That's all.
NWA?
No, I think that one was
that might have been WWF at that time.
Oh.
Yeah. I think that was the crossover. But I like that one. That one's great. That one was like, I think that one for me was like 3A and 3B is the winged eagle belt. The one like right before the Attitude Era one. And then number two is the Undisputed Belt. That one is always going to be synonymous with the Ruthless Aggression Era.
So we're talking about like the 03, like Brock Lesnar held it.
JBL, Eddie Guerrero.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Like, yeah.
Okay.
Those guys.
Okay.
And then the number one, which I probably will always like, is the Attitude Era WWF Championship with the blue strap, the dark blue strap.
Oh,
that winged eagle one.
That was like the circular one, right?
Yeah, that was like I think that was like 99 or 2000.
I mean, now that we're like talking about other titles from other places, the X Division title from TNA from like 05.
The original? I was going to say the original one.
I think it had the giant red X on it.
I mean, yeah. The one now kind of has like an orangish red X, but yeah.
Oh, well, that's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll have more discussions about favorite title belts. We all own at least one, and we will all have more at some point in the future.
We will.
And we'll just have a big party wearing our title belts.
Just the belts, nothing else.
Well, that is very exciting. And it's been a very exciting time today, boys.
Has it?
Someone didn't get too worked up over here.
It's true.
There's always next week. Don't worry. Shorts, did you have any other final thoughts on today's show?
No. Bianca's a heel. We know it.
Oh, my God. George, did you have any other final thoughts for today's show?
It was a good show. Everyone have a great week. Don't drink and drive, and we'll see you next week.
He says as he's finishing his beer to drive home. Don't drink and drive, but I'm gonna. Hooray. Drinking and driving. Woo! Ladies and gentlemen, don't forget to find us on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Search Unprofessional Wrestling Podcast. You can find us there. Subscribe, like, comment, leave a rating, whatever you do on podcast platforms. But also, don't forget to check us out on X and on Facebook, Unprofessional Wrestling Podcast. And also, if you're watching right here on YouTube right now, don't forget, subscribe, notification bell, like, comment, share, do all those things. We are one sub away from 450 subscribers. And let's see if we can get to 500 in the next couple weeks. That would be incredible. We really appreciate you guys for checking out Unprofessional Wrestling while Shorts just absolutely loses his mind while George puts this penta mask with the mannequin head under it in front of him. We'll see you next week at 6 o'clock right here on Unprofessional Wrestling. We'll give you the old salute. And we'll see you next week.